We are continuing Chapter 9 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix with a cutie kitten cuddled up with a cutie tiger and a cutie bear.
This is my baby boo bear.
A baby boo bear.
Mine's just a bear.
Okay. And if you remember, Carrie Kitten.
I remember, I didn't fall asleep.
You didn't fall asleep. So, Mrs. Weasley just left the room after she was very happy that Ron had gotten the prefect badge.
Oh, wait, I did fall asleep.
You did fall asleep.
Ron got a prefect badge?
Yeah, Ron got the prefect badge.
That's right, okay.
So she just left the room. Fred and George exchanged looks. You don't mind if we don't kiss you, do you, Ronnie? Said Fred in a falsely anxious voice. We should curtsy if you like, said George. Oh, shut up, said Ron, scowling at them. Or what, said Fred, an evil grin spreading across his face. Gonna put us in detention? I'd love to see him try, said George. He could, if you don't watch out, said Hermione angrily, at which Fred and George burst out laughing, and Ron muttered, drop it, Hermione. We're gonna have to watch our step, George, said Fred, pretending to tremble. With these two on our case? Yeah, it looks like our law-breaking days are finally over, said George, shaking his head.
Yeah, right, as if they could have law-breaking days be over with those Weasley twins.
With another loud crack, the twins disapparated. Those two, said Hermione furiously.
She's like Mrs. Weasley.
Staring up at the ceiling, through which they could now hear Fred and George roaring with laughter in the room upstairs. Don't pay any attention to them, Ron. They're only jealous. I don't think they are, said Ron doubtfully, always also looking up at the ceiling. They've always said only Pratts become prefects. Still, he added on a happier note, they've never had new brooms. I wish I could go with Mum and choose. She'll never be able to afford a Nimbus, but there's a new clean sweep out. That'd be great. Yeah, I think I'll go tell her I like the clean sweep, just so she knows. He dashed from the room. Man, Harry should totally anonymously buy him a broom.
I know, but Ron is so weird about when Harry tries to do shit.
Forget for him. Harry doing it. Just buy him a broom and, like, put a note saying, like, you know, from, you know, a great wizard or something like that. And then he'll be like, oh, I wonder who it is. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Right? Anyways. He dashed from the room, leaving Harry and Hermione alone. For some reason, Harry found he didn't want to look at Hermione. He turned to his bed, picked up the pile of clean robes Mrs. Weasley had laid upon it, and crossed the room to his trunk. Harry, said Hermione tentatively. Well done, said Harry, so heartily it didn't sound like his voice at all, and still not looking at her. Brilliant, prefect, great. Thanks, said Hermione. Harry, could I borrow Hedwig so I can tell Mom and Dad? They'll be really pleased. I mean, prefect is something they can understand. Why wouldn't they be able to understand the other stuff? She could just explain it. Anyways. Yeah, no problem, said Harry, still in the horrible, hearty voice that didn't belong to him. Take her. He leaned over his trunk, laid the robes on the bottom of it, and pretended to be rummaging for something, while Hermione crossed the wardrobe and called Hedwig down. A few moments passed. Harry heard the door close, but remained bent double, listening. The only sounds he could hear were the blank picture on the wall snickering again, and the waste paper basket in the corner coughing up the owl droppings. He straightened up and looked behind him. Hermione and Hedwig had gone. Harry returned slowly to his bed and sank onto it, gazing unseeingly at the foot of the wardrobe. He had forgotten completely about prefix being chosen in the fifth year. He'd been too anxious about the possibility of being expelled to spare a thought for the fact that badges must be whinging their way toward people. But if he had remembered, if he had thought of this, what would he have expected? Not this, said a small and truthful voice inside his head. Harry screwed up his face and buried it in his hands. He couldn't lie to himself. If he had known the prefect badge was on its way, he would have expected it to come to him, not Ron. Did this make him as arrogant as Draco Malfoy? Did he think himself superior to everyone else? Did he really think he was better than Ron? Well, he's better than Ron.
No, he's not.
Ron's a total dick. I mean, not a dick. He's just like a loser. No, said the small voice defiantly. Was that true? Harry wondered, anxiously probing his own feelings. I'm better at Quidditch, said the voice, but I'm not better at anything else. That was definitely true, Harry thought. He was no better than Ron at lessons. In lessons, but what about outside lessons? What about those adventures he, Ron, and Hermione had together since they had started at Hogwarts, often risking much worse than expulsion? Well, Ron and Hermione were with me most of the time, said the voice in Harry's head. Not all the time, though, Harry argued with himself. They didn't fight Quirrell with me. They didn't take on Riddle and the Basilisk. They didn't get rid of all those Dementors the night Sirius escaped. They weren't in that graveyard with me the night Voldemort returned. And the same feeling of ill usage that had overwhelmed him on the night he had arrived rose again. I've definitely done more, Harry thought indignantly. I've done more than either of them. But maybe, said the small voice fairly, maybe Dumbledore doesn't choose prefects just because they've got themselves into loads of dangerous situations. Maybe he chooses them for other reasons. Ron must have something you don't. Harry opened his eyes, staring through his fingers at the wardrobe's clawed feet, remembering what Fred had said. No one in the right mind would make Ron a prefect. Harry gave a small snort of laughter, but a second later he felt sickened with himself. Ron hadn't asked Dumbledore to give him the prefect badge. This wasn't Ron's fault. Was he, Harry, Ron's best friend in the world, going to sulk because he didn't have a badge, laugh with the twins behind Ron's back, ruin this for Ron when, for the first time, he had beaten Harry at something? Why was Ron made a prefect?
Because he never gets anything, I think. Quite honestly.
So that's
explains it later in the book, saying that they couldn't... Dumbledore didn't feel like he could pick Harry as a prefect since he had so much attention on him, and it would be the expected thing to do, and he didn't want Harry to be ridiculed as being the favorite.
So don't give Harry the prefect, but why give Ron? Plenty of other kids. What has Ron done?
I don't know.
Like, Harry's an average student, right? But he's really good at a few things.
Right.
Ron's just an average student.
Mm-hmm.
Hermione makes sense. She's a goody two-shoes.
Yeah, exactly. She's, upholds the law.
Yeah. Anyways. At this point, Harry heard Ron's footsteps on the stairs again.
Well, Ron has a good moral compass.
There are plenty of other people that have good moral compasses. Neville could have been a prefect.
But Neville doesn't have enough confidence in himself.
Ron doesn't have any confidence in himself either.
He does have some, more than Neville.
Maybe. Anyways.
And I think that... Yeah. Actually, it was probably a really good choice to choose Ron as a prefect because he's so eager to prove himself. He's, really wants to be known for something other than being just a Weasley or Harry Potter's friend or whatever. I think that because he has that, eagerness,
mm-hmm.
it makes him a good choice. And that that sometimes when people don't get that encouragement, they get dejected or whatever. And all it takes is, a spark of acknowledgement for them to really rise above.
That could be.
So there you go.
Yeah. I think you're right. Okay.
She's watching that over me.
Yeah. So she does. Anyway, so he heard Ron's footsteps on the stairs again. He stood up, straightened his glasses, and hitched a grin onto his face as Ron bounded back through the door. Just caught her, he said happily. She says she'll get the queen sleep if she can. Cool, said Harry, and he was relieved to hear that his voice had stopped sounding hearty. Listen, Ron, well done, mate. But the smile faded off Ron's face. I never thought it would be me, he said, shaking his head. I thought it would be you. Nah, I've caused too much trouble, said Harry, echoing Fred. Yeah, Ron said. Well, I suppose. We better get our trunks packed, hadn't we? It was odd how widely their possessions seemed to have scattered themselves since they had arrived. It took them most of the afternoon to retrieve their books and belongings from all over the house and stow them back inside their school trunks. Mm-hmm. See, they don't have this kind of practice that I do. Yeah. I live out of suitcases.
Yeah.
Harry noticed that Ron kept moving his prefect's badge around, first placing it on his bedside table, then putting it in his jeans pocket, and then taking it out and laying it back on the folded robes, as though just to see the effect of the red on the black.
Mm-hmm.
Only when Fred and George dropped in and offered to attach it to his forehead with a permanent sticking charm, did he wrap it tenderly in his maroon socks and lock it in his trunk.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Weasley returned from Diagon Alley around 6 o'clock, laden with books and carrying a long package wrapped in thin brown paper that Ron took from her with a moan of longing. Never mind unwrapping it now. People are arriving for dinner. I want you all downstairs, she said. But the moment she was out of sight, Ron ripped the paper off in a frenzy and examined every inch of his new broom, an ecstatic expression on his face. Down in the basement, Mrs. Weasley had hung a scarlet banner over the heavily laden dinner table, which read, "Congratulations, Ron and Hermione, new prefix." She looked in a better mood than Harry had seen her all holiday. Why is Hermione not in Ravenclaw?
Because she's brave.
Yeah, but she's pretty smart.
And she's noble. That's the thing about the Gryffindors, that they're, like, super noble.
Yeah, but I thought the Ravenclaw... I mean, you'd think
the Ravenclaws... They're not, like, noted for being the noble ones. They're smart, but they're not... Like, Gryffindor is... I think she's the goody-two-shoesness. Yeah. Fits in the Gryffindor.
I suppose.
And she is really brave. Like...
Yeah. "I thought we'd have a little party, not a sit-down dinner," she told Harry, Ron, and Hermione, Fred and George and Ginny, as they entered the room. "Your father and Bill are on the way. I've sent both owls, and they're thrilled," she said, beaming. What did into her voice? You okay?
Mm-hmm.
Fred rolled his eyes. Sirius, Lupin, Tonks, and Kingsley Shacklebolt were already there, and Mad-Eye Moody stumbled in shortly after Harry had got himself a butterbeer.
Alaster, I'm glad you're here," said Mrs. Weasley.
No, that's not her voice.
Yeah, that's not her voice. How did I do it?
Just do it nicely. Like,
okay. "Oh, Alaster, I'm glad you're here," said Mrs.
Alistair.
Weasley. "I'm glad you're here," said Mrs. Weasley brightly, as Mad-Eye shrugged off his traveling coat. "We've been all wanting to ask you for ages. Should you have a look inside the writing desk in the drawing room? Tell us what's inside it. We haven't wanted to open it just in case it's something really nasty." "No problem, Molly." "No problem, Molly."
Good job.
Moody's electric blue eye swiveled upward and stared fixedly through the ceiling in the kitchen. "Drawing room," he growled as the pupil contracted. "Desk in the corner? Yeah, I see it. It's a boggart. I'm going to go upstairs and get rid of it, Molly."
No, I'll do it myself," beamed Mrs. Weasley. "You have your own drink. We're having a little bit of a celebration, actually."
She gestured at the scarlet banner. "Fourth prefect in the family," she said fondly, ruffling Ron's hair.
"Prefect, eh?"
growled Moody, his normal eye on Ron and his magical eye swiveling around to gaze into the side of his head. Harry had the very uncomfortable feeling it was looking at him, and moved away toward Sirius and Lupin.
"Well, congratulations," said Moody, still glaring at Ron with his normal eye. "Authority figures can always attract trouble, but I suppose Dumbledore thinks you can withstand most major jinxes, or he wouldn't have appointed you."
Ron looked rather startled at this view of the matter, but was saved by the trouble of responding by the arrival of his father and eldest brother. Mrs. Weasley was in such a good mood, she didn't even complain that they had brought Mundungus with them. He was wearing a long overcoat that seemed oddly lumpy in unlikely places, and declined to offer to remove it and put it with Moody's traveling cloak.
"Well, I think a toast is in order," said Mr. Weasley when everyone had a drink.
He raised his goblet. "To Ron and Hermione, the new Gryffindor prefix." Ron and Hermione beamed as everyone shouted L'chaim and drank to them and applauded.
What did they say?
They didn't say anything.
Oh.
"I was never a prefect myself," said Tonks brightly from behind Harry, as everyone moved toward the table to help themselves to food. Her hair was a tomato red and was waist-length today. She looked like Ginny's older sister. "My head of house said I lacked certain necessary qualities."
"Like what?" said Ginny, choosing a baked potato.
"Like the ability to behave myself," said Tonks. Ginny laughed. Hermione looked as though she didn't know whether to smile or not, and compromised by taking an extra-large gulp of butterbeer and choking on it.
"What about you, Sirius?" Ginny asked, thumping Hermione on the back.
Sirius, who was right beside Harry, let out his usual bark-like laugh. "No one would have made me a prefect. I spent too much time in detention with James. Lupin was the good boy. He got the badge. I think Dumbledore might have hoped that I would be able to exercise some control over my best friends," said Lupin. "I need scarcely to say that I failed dismally." Harry's mood suddenly lifted. His father had not been a prefect either. All at once, the party seemed much more enjoyable. He loaded up his plate, feeling unusually fond of everyone in the room. Ron was rhapsodizing about his new broom to anyone who would listen.
"Not to 70 in 10 seconds, not bad, is it? When you think the Comet 290 is only not to 60, that's with a decent tailwind according to which broomstick."
Hermione was talking very earnestly to Lupin about her view of elf rights. I mean, it's the same kind of nonsense as werewolf segregation, isn't it? It stems from this horrible thing wizards have of thinking they're superior to other creatures. Mrs. Weasley and Bill were having their usual arguments about Bill's hair. Mm-hmm. Getting really out of hand. You're so good-looking, you would look so much better shorter, wouldn't it, Harry? Oh, I don't know, said Harry, looking slightly alarmed at being asked of his opinion. He slid away from them in the direction of Fred and George, who were huddled in a corner with...
Mundungus.
Mundungus stopped talking when he saw Harry, but Fred winked and beckoned Harry closer. It's okay, he told Mundungus. We can trust Harry. He's our financial backer. Look at what Dung's gotten us, Harry, said George, holding out his hand. It was full of what looked like shriveled black pods. A faint rattling noise was coming from them, even though they were completely stationary. Venomous tentacula seeds, said George. We need them for skiving snack boxes, but they're a Class C non-tradable substance, so we've been having a bit of a trouble getting hold of them. 10 galleons for the lot, then, eh, Dung? Said Fred. Well, the trouble I get them to, said Mundungus, his saggy, bloodshot eyes stretching even wider. I'm sorry, lads, but I'm not taking a newt under 20. Dunn likes his little jokes, said Fred to Harry. Yeah, the best one so far has been 6 sickles for a bag of gnarled quills, said George. Be careful, Harry warned them quietly. What? Said Fred. Mum's busy cooing over Prefect Ron. We're okay. But Moody could have his eye on you, said Harry. Mundungus looked nervously over his shoulder. Good point that, he grunted. All right, lads, 10 it is, if you'll take them quick. Cheers, Harry, said Fred delightedly, when Mundungus had emptied his pockets into the twins' outstretched hands and scuttled off toward the food. We better get these upstairs. Harry watched them, feeling slightly uneasy. It had just occurred to him that Mr. and Mrs. Weasley would want to know how Fred and George were financing their joke shark business, when, as was inevitable, they found out about it. Giving the twins his Triwizard winnings had seemed like a simple thing to do at the time, but what if it led to another family row and a Percy-like estrangement? Would Mrs. Weasley still feel that Harry was as good as her son if she found out he had made it possible for Fred and George to start a career she thought quite unsuitable? Standing where the twins had left him, with nothing but a guilty weight in the pit of his stomach for company, Harry caught the sound of his own name. Kingsley Shacklebolt's deep voice was audible, even over the surrounding chatter. Why didn't Dumbledore make Potter a prefect? Said Kingsley. He'll have had his reasons, replied Lupin. But it would have shown confidence in him. It's what I would have done, persisted Kingsley, especially with the Daily Prophet having a go at him every few days. Harry looked around. He didn't want Lupin or Kingsley to know he had heard. He followed Mundungus back toward the table, though not remotely hungry. His pleasure in the party had evaporated as quickly as it had come. He wished he were upstairs in bed. Mad-Eye Moody was sniffing a chicken leg with what remained of his nose. Evidently, he could not detect any trace of poison, because he then tore a strip off with his teeth. Maybe we should stop there.
Okay. You have a good little nap, kitten. I love you so much. You're such a sweet kitty. And now you've got Lily watching over you all while you nap. You'll be so cute.